You've tuned into His Name Ministries podcast.
The darker it is, the brighter we shine. We're not in the dark business, we're in the light business. And I know the Holy Spirit, He wants to use you like never before. And He wants to make you a lighthouse for His glory. Isn't that amazing? I love what Jesus told the disciples. I can sense the preachers in here, amen. I love what Jesus told His disciples. It's good for you that I go. How in the world, Jesus, is it good for you to go? He goes, if I don't go, the Comforter, Holy Spirit, He can't come. And He says, I'll not leave you alone. I won't leave you as orphans. There's a lot of Christians walking around. They're orphans. They're down, depressed. They feel like they have nobody. No, you have the Holy Spirit. And He says, I'll never leave you comfortless. He'll lead us and guide us. And He'll shine through us. That's what I'm talking about. Everywhere we go, and it's not just inside the church, but it's outside these four walls. Everywhere we go, we shine Jesus. The grocery store, Jesus. Gas station, Jesus. And the enemy knows this, and he'll try everything he can do to put your light out. But he can't. He'll try sickness. He'll try worry. He'll try pressure. But he is a liar. We serve a mighty God. We serve a God. He is the way maker. He's the God of the individual. With man, things are impossible. But guess what? With God, nothing is impossible. We serve a God that nothing is impossible. I'm proof of that. Just being brought up not just in a Christian home, but a ministry family. Everyone in my family preaches. It's quite the scene. Christmas Day, Christmas time, we all get together. So-and-so, where you been? Oh, I've been up in the north holding meetings. God is good. Healing is taking place. Let me tell you about five testimonies. They start going, oh, great. Praise God. I've been in the south. God's moving there. What you're saying is happening there. A few more testimonies. Before you know, we've had church for 4 hours. That's a good thing, though. But I know what it's like not just to be brought up in a church home, but a ministry family. And then, like Dr. Larry was talking about, just because I was brought up in that family doesn't mean everything's made perfectly for Brandon. I walk down roads that are covered in roses and everything's easy. No, I myself had to use my faith, and I had to trust God. God, I'll do whatever you have called me to do. I'll trust you no matter what, even though with my eyes it looks impossible. Even though to my flesh it doesn't feel the best, but I will do what you've called me to do, and I'll trust you no matter what. Amen. I'm proof of that. You know, even leaving, I live in Los Angeles, California now. And that is different from the Ozarks, brought up in Branson, Missouri. But I knew God has called me out there. And we've seen Him make a way for us where there is no way, when it doesn't look like no one knows what I'm doing, but God supernaturally training Destiny and I for ministry for this time right now. We serve an amazing God, amen? Hallelujah. Let's open up on a word of prayer. Lord, I love you. We honor you. I thank you, Lord, for your anointing, for your presence, sweet Holy Spirit. Come in right now on this Thursday night that we never be the same. Never the same in Jesus' name. They won't hear my words. Let them hear your words. You said in Jeremiah, is not my word like a fire? Is not my word like the hammer that breaks the rocks into pieces? Burn up anything, break up anything that's not supposed to be there. This is holy ground. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom, there is liberty. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm excited for tonight. I'm glad I'm in church tonight. Are you? Hallelujah. We last night, Destiny and I, we were in Harrison, Arkansas, way out in the woods. I mean, I didn't know when we were going to arrive to this church. We're driving, and there was nothing, just woods, driving, and all of a sudden, there's the church. But let me tell you, God so moved in that church last night, miracle after miracle. The presence of God came in, crashed in on that church service. God gets all the glory. It was amazing. We had such a wonderful time. And I'm expecting that tonight. As we lean our hearts in, as we yield ourselves to what the Lord wants to do in our lives, not just sitting there saying, okay, when's church over? I need to go eat. Come on. Yeah, Thursday night, could be watching football. No, as you're sitting here and you're saying, God, I want to leave never the same. I'll hear something that will forever change my life. And things that maybe I'm carrying that I don't realize it, that those will be gone in Jesus' name. Maybe a pain in your body, no more pain. It will forever leave from this night on in Jesus' name. And I know I'm not just here just to be here. I'm not just here to come to the Lake of the Ozarks just to say that, you know, just to be here on a Thursday night. But really praying about this service, I know this is a God-ordained moment. We don't just have services just to have services, but I know God, even here at the church, God is so involved in each of your services. And even right now, we're meeting on this Thursday night. This is a God-ordained moment. Even how it came about. I've known your pastors literally my whole entire lives. Been around them, and what a blessing that is. And we were at my grandmother's conference, the Autumn Assembly, and we were having, on Sunday, they had like a Holy Ghost service. So we're there, and I'm on the platform there in the back. And I see a guy, they start praying for a guy, and I knew the Holy Spirit had something for him, a word. But I'm having a conversation with myself. Should I say something? I don't know. Don't do it, Brandon. Don't do it. Then I'm thinking, Brandon, this isn't about you. What does the Lord want for that guy? Okay, that's a good point. I'll do it. I gave a word to the of the Lord to that guy. God really moved on that guy. And then your pastors ran up and said, can you be at our church on Thursday? So I said, yes. And then right away we announced it. I'll be at Walk on the Water on Thursday. That's how it happened. Ordained by God. And even praying for this service tonight, I feel like your lives, you're about to go up to a higher level. I don't know about that, Brandon. Come on, have some faith, have some expectation. You're about to go up to a higher level. The things with God, your greater days are not behind you. They're ahead of you. That's a good thing, right? I hear so many Christians, and they love Jesus, but they tell me about their past. Oh, man, God did this. And that was amazing back in 1984, And I'm thinking, what about now? Your life, your greater days are not behind you, they're ahead of you. It says in 2 Corinthians that we go from glory to glory until we are what? Changed into the same image of God. From glory to glory. That's what I'm talking about. I've been in a service. I'm just going to kind of be led of the Holy Spirit real quick. I was in a service one time. A lot of people, revival was moving. I told my mom, I said, Mom, I feel, I don't know what it is, but I just need to be in that service. There's a connection there with that minister. I mean, I'm not expecting him to give me a word or anything, but I just want to be there. And I felt that, and I felt led to tell my mom that. So I'm at the service. I'm sitting on the front row, lots of people. The guy preaches for about 2 hours, just like what I'm going to do tonight, maybe three. Amen. You guys are ready, right? He said, I don't care. I like that. I drink my coffee. I'm ready to go. But he got done. He was preaching maybe about 30 minutes. He started walking off the platform, and he said, Brandon, come here. And he quoted a scripture about passing it from generation to generation. He said, walk with me. So I start walking with this man of God. The gifts of the Spirit start operating, flowing, healing start breaking out. But I remember Dr. Larry and Loretta, when I walked by him, it was like I stepped into another level. Wasn't like a little bit. It was a level I wasn't familiar with. I said, whoa, this feels good. Jesus, I just want to raise my hands right now. Pray for me. I'm walking with him and praying for people. Another level. God wants to do that to you, and it's starting tonight, not just for tonight, but the rest of 2019 and 2020, another level. I would encourage you, write down your journal tonight. Brandon came with his tight skinny pants on. He said another level. And if you will do that, and if you'll believe God, and you look at that every day, you won't even recognize your life in 3 months. That's the word of the Lord for you. Even in your finances, you will not recognize your finances. Another level. Dr. Larry's talking about tipping big. That's another level. A lot of Christians don't tip. We operate on another level. It says in Ephesians that we are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's on another level. Far above all principality, power, might, dominion, every name that is named. Not just a little bit above, but far above. We operate on another level. Anything the enemy might try to throw against us, he is defeated. We are far above him. That's a good thing. Be encouraged. Be of good cheer. We are on another level. Hallelujah. And I want to preach tonight. I haven't even started my message. I want to preach tonight something that's real special to me. Something that I'm not just preaching to you just to preach it, but I practiced it for a few years now. I believe you should practice the message before you preach it. Amen. I didn't just think of something to tell you tonight, and I'm not practicing myself. This is something I've started way before I even started ministering publicly, because I needed help from God. I needed his divine assistance. I needed the Holy Spirit to help me. And this is a heart cry for me. And I believe tonight is going to be a heart cry for you. Not just something that you utter with your lips, but something that really, you really, truly mean it out of your heart. Amen? It's this: courage to contend for God to use you. You need to have courage to contend for God to use you. Not just the pastors, not just the preachers, not just the evangelists that can talk really cool in the microphones, but God wants you sitting down in your everyday life. He wants you to have courage to say, God, use me. I want you to use me. My life is not my own. I don't care how old you may look or how young you are. You need to have courage. God, I want you to use me daily. Whether if it's me at the grocery store and I tell someone God loves them, I want you to use me. I want to carry your presence. I want to be a difference maker. I don't want none of my flesh. I don't want me. I want you flowing and shining through me. And I want you to use me like never before. Hallelujah. And you need to know that you are called by the Master. You're not just here just to be here, but you are here for such a time as this. Last day ministry. Paul had his time. David had his time. But guess what? It's your and I's time. And even in a race, in a 4x100 race, the fastest runner's at the end. That's you and I. Holy Spirit, tonight, he's calling all of you. There's going to be a renewing in your spirit. You are called by the Master. The greater the call on your life, the greater the fight. The enemy knows this. You're a threat to him. He'll try anything to stop you. He'll try anything to make you get discouraged. He'll try anything to make you compare yourself to other people. He may try to even put a little sickness on you to get you down. But let me tell you, he is a liar. You are a threat to him. And we need to know this. I love what it says in Ephesians chapter 2. You can just listen. In the Passion Translation, verse 10, it says this: we have become his poetry, a recreated people that will fulfill the destiny he has given each of us. For we are joined to Jesus, the Anointed One. Are you thankful for that? You and I, we are joined to Jesus, the Anointed One. Even before we were born, God planned in advance our destiny and the good works we would do to fulfill it. I love that. It says, before you and I were born, God planned in advance our destinies and the good works we would do to fulfill it. God has placed you for this time for a reason, on purpose. And he has a plan for your life. Your plan is not just your little mind. What can I write in my planner? What can I do? No, God, the master planner, he has a special plan for your life. Before you were born, he was planning your life. That's encouraging. And the good works we would do to fulfill it. And there's too many discouraged Christians. You never see in the Word of God, you never see Paul say, hey, guys, be discouraged. Man, this is terrible. Man, I must have missed it. Be discouraged, guys. I know I'm cold too, you know, shipwrecked. Can you believe I tried to make a fire and a snake bit me? I don't even know what's going on. No, he said, be of good cheer. You see Paul in situations where he could be discouraged, but he kept on pressing through, and you see God use him to, even on the island of Malta, you see a whole healing revival take place. But what would have happened if Paul would have got discouraged? If he got bit by that snake and say, oh my goodness, guys, is this poisonous? Check the eyes. Are they round? Are they slanted? No, he shook it off. It's time for us to shake off things that we are not called to carry. Shake it off. But one thing about walking in faith, being a son and daughter of God, walking in faith, something that I've learned personally, is it's a courageous walk. I had this revelation. I grew up in church, hearing preachers tell their preaching stories, and you hear them. Oh, I stayed in my car, and God supernaturally used this lady to bless us, and then we went all around the world, and everyone goes, yeah, that's great. And Destiny and I, us having our walk of faith, trusting God, I'm thinking, wow, those stories are real. That's not just a preaching story, but you see God take care of them. But you see courage all threaded through a walk of faith. Walking in faith is a courageous walk. You got to have courage. You got to have boldness. You can't allow yourself to be discouraged. You can't. I see it all the time. I see a lot of discouraged Christians. I even know Christians that are serving God, on fire for God, but they neglect their time with the Lord daily. They get discouraged, and now they're away from God. Walking in faith is a courageous walk. And we have the Holy Spirit, like I said. Not a small one, not a medium-sized Holy Spirit, but we have big Holy Spirit living inside of us. I love what the Word of God says about Caleb. We know the story about the 12 spies and how 10 of them come back for and give an evil report. But it says in Numbers chapter 14, verse 24, it says, Caleb had another spirit. What do you think that spirit was? Do you think it was a spirit of discouragement? He had a courageous spirit. And the Bible calls it another spirit. We are called to have another spirit, a courageous spirit. Not to be discouraged, but to have courage. David, you see David in the field, in the secret place, not trying to be the king, but worshiping the king. And it says God found David, told Samuel, go anoint the next king of Israel out of Jesse's house. So David, his dad, brings out all the brothers. Samuel says, nope. Do you have one more? I do, but he's out in the field. So you see, even David, his own dad counted David out. His own dad didn't even bring him forth. But when he comes forth, Samuel says, we won't sit down until he comes. So he comes in. The Holy Spirit, the Lord says, that's him. Anointed him with the horn of oil, symbolic of the Holy Spirit. And we see a young guy anointed. And we see the results of it. We see him going to the battlefield, running after Goliath. When everyone else, these big bad guys and men of war, trained fighters, scared, a young guy, anointed by God, running towards the giant. What is that? That's courage. That's having a courageous spirit. That's symbolic of the Holy Spirit, the same one you and I have. We can have courage no matter what. Whatever the enemy might try to come throw against us, we can run towards it and know that we are on another level. I don't care what it is. Amen. I want you to turn to Acts chapter 4. Hallelujah. Isn't God so good? Even as I'm ministering, as I'm speaking, I would encourage you to yield yourself to God. I love what it says in the Word. As Peter was speaking, the Holy Ghost fell. I believe things, even maybe pain in your body, even as I'm preaching, that pain is going to leave. Even depression is going to be gone. Amen. Is there anyone here? You can sense a difference right now. Even as I'm talking, I want you to raise your hand. Amen. Hallelujah. Just the beginning. Just the beginning. Acts chapter 4. So in Acts chapter 3, a miracle took place. The lame man was healed, walking, leaping, and praising God. In verse 3, Acts chapter 4, verse 3, it says this. So after this miracle took place, this is what happened. They laid hands on them, and they put them whole until the next day, for it is now evening tide. These are not good hands. These are not Peter and John, I appreciate your ministry. I want you to come to Walk on the Water Faith Church, hold a healing revival. No, these are not good hands. They were thrown into jail. But look at this, verse 4. Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. People didn't just hear a gospel preached. They saw it demonstrated. A crippled man rose up, walking, leaping, and praising God. He was in his 40s, crippled from his mother's womb. Peter and John thrown into jail. They didn't get discouraged. Man, what's happening, God, with that miracle? Now what? No, 5,000 people said, that's the God I want to serve. The God, the healing, working God, that's the God I want to serve. 5,000 people gave their lives to God. This is the Bible. And they were hungry for something. They were searching for something. They were looking for power, and it's still the same today. People are hungering and searching for the power of God, for what you and I carry. We hear the testimonies. We hear it back in the Azusa Street, people getting touched by God. Why not now? We serve. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is a miracle-working God. You put your faith in him. You trust him no matter what. And you don't get discouraged. Let me tell you, your miracle is here for you tonight. Whatever you need, your breakthrough is here tonight. Nothing can stand against the anointing of God. It says the anointing of God destroys every yoke, every bondage. Hallelujah. Nothing can stand against the anointing and the presence of God. Hallelujah. Before I met Destiny, my life, like I said, I was brought up in a church home, not just a church home, a ministry home, family, and I could get by with church. I want to be real with you tonight. I looked like I had it all put together. Brandon, how you doing? I'm doing blessed, highly favored. If God be for me, who can be against me? God bless you, brother, man of God, woman of God. But on the inside, I wasn't 100% on fire for God. It was all facade. But that, my life changed. I began not just to look like I had it together. I began to be so on fire for God. I realized it's not just my grandmother's God. It's not just my parents' God. And it's not just, you know, these ministers' God. He's my God. He wants to make himself so real to me. I pray tonight. I know you guys, I can sense you guys have a real good walk with God, a walk in faith with God. But I want to say this tonight, that you will experience that afresh tonight. He's your God. He knows your name. He planned and advanced your life and the good works you would do to fulfill it. Matthew, he knows exactly how many hairs are on your head. In Psalms, he thinks about you more than the sand on the seashore, it says. He's your God. He wants to make his life in you so real. Wherever you go, people will see Jesus. This began to happen in my life. I started to get on fire for God. I didn't tell anybody. I didn't tell anyone. And I started to change. It was amazing. Even after church services, I would go home and I would still read my Bible and have another like worship service by myself. I wasn't like, hey, let me get out of here so I can go swimming at the swimming pool anymore. I wanted more of Jesus. I knew Brandon had his plans. I knew how it was, not on fire for God, but I don't want that anymore. I want all of him. I want to be forever changed. I'm contending. And I want you to have this tonight. I want you to contend. God, I want you to use me. Whether if it's by microphone, whatever it is, I don't care. I want you to use me like never before. My life started to change. People began to take notice of it. I didn't even tell them what was happening. They would say, you look different. You act different. I just said, oh, okay. I didn't tell him what I was doing. I said, all right, that's great, cool. Even playing at my family around Christmas time, we play games. And they're kind of like little, you have to be kind of smart with games, like with words and stuff. My grandmother goes, you're a lot smarter than you used to be. She told me that. She said, you've been reading your word? I said, yeah, I have. I've been reading Proverbs. I have wisdom, I guess. But I noticed that I was, instead of me being the last pick, I was like one of the first picks. She goes, wow, you've really gotten a lot better. I was on fire for Jesus. I was contending, God, I want you to use me. We're called to live on fire for Jesus. And God started to put in my life, he started to put people, men and women of God, that were on fire for Jesus. That walked in a power in the presence of God. I call them fireballs. You're either going to be a fireball, snowball, or a spitball. I know if you're hot, cold, or lukewarm. Lukewarm, he spits you out of the mouth. Spitball. I want to be a fireball. Not a snowball, not a spitball. So I will go to all these services I could go to. Be around these men and women of God on fire for God. And guess what? It started to come on me. I started to catch it. I remember one service. Man of God was preaching. He was talking, and he was talking about the glory of God, the presence of God, revival, how revival hit his church. Millions of people came without one single use of advertisement. Over 5 million people came in 5 years. What do they want? The glory of God. What do they want? The presence of God. He looks over at me and he says, I don't know why I'm talking about this. I didn't plan talking about it, but something over there is pulling it from me. I said, that's me right there. He preached, came down right in front of us. He went to pray for me, and I could not stand still. I felt such heaviness. I felt the glory of God, and it started to push me backwards. The ushers had to grab me and bring him to me, or bring him, me to him. And he opened up his suit coat, and he goes, you feel that, son? You feel that? That's the glory of God. I said, I feel it. I feel it. He says, you have a heart for it. You're going to carry this. I have a heart for it. I'm contending, God. I don't want just the look. I don't want just the pictures for social media. I don't want the likes. I don't want the comments. I want the glory of God. I want the presence of God. That's what changed my life. Nothing wrong with the nice suits and the shiny suits and the all that. That's great. Preachers, that's awesome. I love that. But I want Jesus. That's what changed my life. The presence of God, the glory of God. Joshua, after Moses is talking to God face to face in the tabernacle, Joshua, after Moses leaves, Joshua goes in there. What do you think he's doing? Just sitting there on his iPhone? Sitting there playing a game? No. The presence of God, he was hungry for it. I want to be around the presence. I'm tired of the same old, same old. I want him. I love what God did in the Azusa Street Revival, the Welsh Revival, where the presence of God was so strong. Even out at sea, these most evil guys would fall to their knees, and they would say, send a minister. They didn't need a preacher preaching to them, a PowerPoint message. It was the presence of God. It was the glory of God. That's what I want. I don't want to convince you as you're sitting there for you to say, God, use me, or be on fire for him. I want the Holy Spirit to convince you. That's what he did to me. And my life started to change on fire. Contending, God, I want you to use me. I want you to use me. And things, the enemy will try things to get that fire out. He'll try people to get that fire out. Even relationships, even you young people, he'll try to put that special person in your life. You think it's all special. They look all cute, but it is a tactic of the enemy, and it will take your fire out. Trust me. I know what it's like to be in a relationship that wasn't right, not godly, and it was trying to take my fire out, and it was trying to get me off the path God had ordained for me. So in this time, on fire for God, I started to be consumed with courage, studying the word courage. I would say, God, I need courage. I need help. I know you have a plan for my life. I know you want to use me, but I need some courage. And I was studying courage night and day, all the time. I was really studying about in Nehemiah, how he went back and rebuilt the walls of Jerusalem, how he was a cupbearer, and how he told the king, I want to do this, which that, literally, that's taking his life and putting it in his hands. He could have died for that. I started reading about Joshua and how the Lord spoke to Joshua, as I was with Moses, I will be with you. Be of good cheer. Have courage. Never said be discouraged. Moses is gone. Good luck. As I was with Moses, I'll be with you. The Lord started to speak to me. As I was with Moses, Brandon, I'll be with you. Let me tell you, he'll be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Have courage. Have boldness. This is our foundation. The beginning church walked in such a courage and such a boldness for Jesus. We cannot lose our boldness and courage. I want you to look at Acts chapter 14, if you're still there. Verse 13, it says this, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and they perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus." I like that. The results of them being with Jesus, the results of that is they had a boldness. Jesus is already gone. But they said, hey, these guys have been with the Master. How can we tell? Because they have a boldness. As you and I, as we daily spend time with God, as we daily get in His words and allow the Lord to minister to us, we will have a courage and a boldness where they'll be like, that person has been with Jesus. That person has been in their prayer room. They're touching God. They saw some natural things. They're unlearned. They're ignorant. They don't have the best education. But I do notice something. They have been with Jesus, and they have a boldness. You can have all the stuff you want, all the educations, but your number one thing is you better, people should see and know that you have been with Jesus and that He lives on the inside of you. My life, I want people to say, He's been with Jesus. Me trusting God, going in to California, living in a small trailer when it looks like no one knows what I'm doing, it was hard on my flesh. I was trusting God, seeking His face. So when I come out of there, they'll say, wow, He's been with Jesus. He's different. He's changed. And this, it's like a secret, it's like the secret place. And the secret place is not a season you're called to leave. It's a lifestyle. People will see that you have been with Jesus. So I'm studying courage all the time. Proverbs 28:1, it says, "The wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion." I start to speak over myself, I'm bold as a lion. Why? Because what I can do? No, because I'm the righteousness of God. What Jesus did for me, I'm bold as a lion. I'm bold as a lion. Yeah, Brandon, you get nervous. That one time, all those times your grandmother dragged you up to the pulpit and made you speak, and you'd be all nervous, and people make fun of you, your family members after. Forget that. I'm bold as a lion. I'm bold as a lion. Speak through me. Speak through me. Don't let it be my words. Let it be your words. I'm bold as a lion. I started to notice how Paul in Ephesians, after listing the prayer armor, he says, "And also pray for me that utterance may be given unto me, that I may speak the word boldly as I ought to speak." So I saw Paul saying, "Pray for me that I may have boldness and speak the word as I should speak." So Paul's saying we should speak with boldness, with courage. And he also said, "Pray for me," the great apostle Paul. "Pray for me that I might have boldness and courage." You can pray for boldness. You can pray for courage. Can't pray for faith. Faith comes by what? I knew I wasn't walk on the water faith church. Come on. Hearing and hearing by the word of God. But you can pray for courage. You can pray for boldness. I began to seek God and ask the Lord for courage and boldness. Hallelujah. And like I said earlier, it matters who you're with. And I'm in a relationship with someone I know this is not God's best choice for me. It was trying to pull me in opposite direction, which it wasn't God. I knew it, and my whole family knew it. They would tell me, Braden, we're very concerned. They would tell me all this. And it's like I wanted to tell them, don't you think I know this? I'm trying to see what to do here. But I didn't have the courage to boldness. I didn't know what to do. And I had a heavenly encounter. I'm laying down on the couch, worshiping God, had my eyes closed, and I felt, the best way I could describe it, I just felt the anointing, the presence of God, just like when you guys were in worship a few minutes ago. I felt that, and I open my eyes, I see two angels. One's looking straight at me, one's kind of to the side, holding something, it looked like a stack of papers. I remember that one, the one that was looking right at me had a smile and looked at me and was taking the paper and putting it on my chest. And I remember looking down, I saw it form my chest and go inside of me. That's what I was feeling. Next thing you know, I'm up. And I know I was in heaven. I'm in a place, it's bright. And I haven't shared this publicly, maybe this is my third time. This happened years ago. But the Holy Spirit's been dealing with me. Brandon, I want you to start sharing it. It's not just for you, but it's for everybody else. A divine class on courage. And I'm walking, and I know it was in heaven, and I go to a classroom. I walked into the classroom, maybe about 40 to 50 people. Only one spot left to sit down, front center row. I'm thinking, I don't usually sit in the front row. Maybe the third, maybe a little bit in the back. That was the only place available. I sat down, and the reason I know it wasn't a dream, I was deciding what to do. I remember before I went to the class, I kind of took a little detour. I walked around because I was testing it. I knew I was out of my body. And I was walking around. Then I went to this classroom. So I sit down. The first thing I did is I turn around, and I see a lady behind me in a white, like, tunic outfit. She was right behind me. Then I look to my left. I see an angel by the door, real tall, serious, super serious. Didn't play games. I would say he's about maybe 12 feet tall, standing there like this. Looking around. Then I look straight. I see a white board. And I see a back door, like a little VIP entrance back door. Right when I see that door opens. Here comes this guy. He was had such the joy of the Lord on him. I pray tonight that you will have the joy of the Lord on you like never before. He had such a joy. He was so non-religious. He was happy. Some people need to get this revelation when they go to church. You can be happy. It's a fun thing. You don't have to go. You get to go. He came in all happy, excited. And right when he came in, I knew it was King David. And he said, today, I'm going to teach you. And when he said this, he turned around, grabbed like a marker, and wrote on the board. He said, today I'm going to teach you on courage, and wrote it out as he said it. And he wrote it in purple. I have a dear friend, a pastor in Oklahoma City. He heard me on the radio sharing this visitation with my grandmother. I shared what I'm sharing with you now. He heard it. He got in contact with me and said, I want you to come to my church, and I want you to talk about it. So I shared a little bit about it, but then he has a radio program on the Oasis Radio Network. He said, let's do a whole week on courage. I want to go in detail. I want to ask you questions about what you saw, what David looked like. And I just want the radio broadcast to listen to it. So we did. We did a whole week. Right when I left, he gets diagnosed with brain cancer. He said, Brandon, he called me. He said, Brandon, now I know why you're here. He said, that courage is for me right now. Not for the radio audience, it's for me. Guess what? Now he's 100% whole, perfect. Church is doing great. But he said, Brandon, what ministered to me the most is how you said David handled himself, how he was joyful, excited. He said, during that whole time of me trusting God, I kept thinking about how David was. I'm going to teach you on courage. Then he said this, there's a test coming. In heaven, we're going to have tests, but you're going to enjoy them. I enjoyed it. You're going to actually want a test. That's hard to believe. You're going to want to have tests. You're going to want to learn. Such freedom in your mind. It's amazing. Passed out the test. I remember it was about 7 to 8 pages. Guess who passed it out? The angel passed it out. Kind of threw it down. Had some books on my desk, on my table there. I remember looking at the test, about 7 to 8 pages thick. I remember seeing the questions. They're all multiple choice. Thank God for multiple choice. I remember seeing that. I was a little bit relieved. I don't remember any of the questions. But right when I noticed that, class is over. Then David says this again. There is a test coming. I'm walking out of the class. That angel who was standing by the door grabs my arm and hands me something. And he made sure I was going to grab this. Like, I could not walk out that door without what he was handing me. So I grabbed it. I looked at it. I can't even tell you what it looked like. I walk out. And David, right before I walk out, David puts his arm around me. And he says, let me tell you what that is. He said, that's a highlighter. He said, those books in your hands, they're not yours yet. But while you're here, everything that you will highlight, only your eyes will see it. And it will be in pure gold. So we're going to have highlighters that highlight in pure gold. Isn't that amazing? We have a very, very rich Father. Amen. I remember I felt such love. I felt encouraged. Then I went to another class. It was set up completely different. Round tables. I sat down. Even the teacher, I don't know who the teacher was, the instructor, looked very different. Wisdom, long, flowy outfit, long beard. Carrying a big Bible. I sat down and he said this, today we're going to learn about numbers in the Bible. And we're going to learn about the number 8. He said numbers in the Bible are not just there to be there, but they all have a specific meaning. They all mean something. Then he said this, they're not just in the Bible to fill up the pages. So we're going to learn today, we're going to learn about the number 8. Passed out the paper, had a big number 8, and it had a whole bunch of things that you had to identify on the number 8. A whole bunch of lines, each side of number 8. Every part of the number 8 means something. Everyone is all studious. Everyone's working on it. I'm the only one sitting there. Kind of like today, if you would hand me a paper with the number 8 on it. What is this? This is a number 8. I raise my hand. Here comes the instructor. And I remember he looked at me full of joy, and he opened up the Bible, and he began to talk to me about the number 8. That was it. I don't remember what he said. I'm back in my body where I was. I felt such encouragement. I had a download of courage. I was a new man, but I'm still in a relationship. But now I have the courage to take care of that relationship. So I make that decision. You know what? You're not for me. God bless you. I didn't say it like that, but the Lord speaks to me right after I do that. I went and I'm brushing my teeth. I hear the Holy Spirit speak to me. Brandon, you passed the test. The test wasn't on paper. It was you making that decision. And I got an A+. Come on. Passed it. That number 8 is symbolic of new beginnings. Eternal covenant. The Lord spoke to me. He said, Brandon, what I'm doing in your life is going to be a new beginning. A year after that, I met Destiny. My new beginning began. Ministry began. It would have never happened if I didn't make that decision. And I passed the test. The Lord's been dealing with me. It's not just for you, Brandon. It's for everybody. I want them to have courage like never before. And I want them to walk in their new beginning. Hallelujah. A new beginning. Big things. Having courage to say, yes, Lord, I'll do what you want me to do. Even the Lord put it on my heart to write a book about it. I didn't really want to write a book. The Lord told me to do it. I said, yes, Lord, I'll have the courage to do it. Like in John chapter 2, Jesus' mother, whatever he says to you, do it. So guess what? I did it. I wrote it. I'll see what the Lord does with it, but I obeyed. Having that courage in us in ministry, but even making those small decisions. Walking in that new beginning. I believe that we're going to walk in this courageous new beginning in our lives. It's not just for me so I can be blessed and all that, but it's for all of us. And when I walked out of that classroom, that courage class, there was about 500 people wanting to go in that classroom. And I now thinking about it, meditating on it, I knew it was a special classroom. Heaven has a class on courage. You don't want to walk in courage right now? Guess what? When you go to heaven, I know what class you're going to. And you're going to have a test, and it will be multiple choice. He wants us to have courage to walk in our new beginning. Even me being in California takes courage to trust God. Finances for everything takes courage to trust God. I know I'm obeying you, Lord. Even about a year and a half ago, we moved into our apartment. And on the way to our apartment, before we lived in a RV, like a nice trailer that we bought, and it was like another step. Now we get an apartment. I get a place that's not on wheels. Thank you, Lord. That's a big thing, you know? And I'm driving, and Destiny, we're driving, and we're like, wow, we're doing it. You know, we're really trusting God. This is an exciting moment. But it felt kind of uncomfortable, you know? It was like a walking on the water. Because I won't even tell you how much we pay a month. I won't even tell you. Walking on the water, trusting God. But we knew the Lord told us to do it. So we get our assigned parking space. And I remember we pulled in, and guess what the number parking space was? Number 8. The Lord saying, Brandon, I got you. New beginning. This is your new beginning. Your greater days are not behind you when you travel with your grandmother, staying at the nice hotels, but this is just a step. Greater days ahead of you. And there's greater days ahead of you, guys. A new beginning. Courageous walk with God. Hallelujah. And the devil is a liar. We serve a mighty God. He'll try everything to get you discouraged, but he is a liar. Contending, God, I want you to use me. In Jude, it talks about contending for the faith. Contending for the faith. How are we going to contend for the faith? It says in verse 20, it says by praying in the Holy Ghost. That's how we're going to contend for it. And it even says, in the last days, there'll be people that will be sensual. They'll go by their feelings. And in the Passion Translation, it says, they will be devoid of the life of the Spirit of God. There are people, there are ministers, sad to say it, I'm not bashing anyone, but they are not even led by the Holy Spirit at all. They're devoid out of the life of the Spirit of God. They're sensual. But it says for us to contend for the faith. What kind of faith? Azusa Street. What kind of faith? Book of Acts. How are we going to do that? By a smoke show? By us dancing around? No. By praying in the Holy Ghost. By praying in tongues. Contend for the faith. I want it now. I love how God used Captain Coolman, but I want it now. I serve a God of miracles. I want him to use me to pray for people. I know what it says in Mark chapter 16. I shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. God, I want to be used now. I'm not waiting for other people. I want you to use me. Instead of me always having to get something by someone, I want you to use me to give something to someone. And we do it by praying in the Holy Spirit, by praying in tongues, mysteries up to God, edifying up ourselves. And that is the way we contend for the faith. Even you in your prayer closets, be encouraged. You keep on going like never before. You keep on contending. You're believing God for your loved ones, you keep on contending for them. You're believing God for your city, you keep on going. Hallelujah.
Thank you for checking out our podcast. For more information on His Name Ministries, check out our website at hisnameministries.com or check us out on Instagram, Facebook, or YouTube. Have a blessed day.